Good morning. We are in the midst of this series on the book of Galatians called By the Grace of God. And so last week and this week and the next couple weeks, we're going to be exploring Paul's text to the churches in Galatia. As I was thinking about Mother's Day this year, I thought a lot about my parents and the role that they played in our household. And I think many of us experience kind of two types of parents. Maybe I'm wrong, but to make it very black and white, some of us have a fun parent, right? And the other parent is more like a disciplinarian. Anyone else experience this in their household? Or if you're married, is one of you more of the fun parent and the other more of the strict parent? Aaron's definitely the strict parent, and I am the fun parent. He's shaking his head no. No, he's the fun parent that plays with the kids and goes outside and gets dirty and laughs and let them stay up way too late, right? And I'm the parent that's like, no, you must have a protein and a vegetable and a fruit on your plate. You can only drink whole milk. You need to brush your teeth 17 times a day. And if you go outside, you have to wash up so you don't bring mud in the house, even though I'm not a clean person at all. But I am the more structured rule follower. And then Aaron is more of the free spirit. And I think for many of us, we have a similar dichotomy in our relationships. Sometimes those are fluid, right? Sometimes one of you is more strict than the other, and sometimes vice versa. But either way, often when we think of a disciplinarian, either in our homes as a parent or at school as a teacher, I remember growing up, someone would say, oh, you don't want to get Mrs. Aaron's. She's super strict, right? Anyone else have a teacher like that or a teacher in their school? Or were that teacher, Connie? I don't know. Were you the strict teacher? No. But discipline often has a negative connotation, right? If you look up the word discipline in the dictionary, one of the first things that it says is punishment. Because we like to think of a disciplinarian as, if you don't follow the rules, these are your punishments. These are your consequences. And often that's true, right? Emerson, if you don't eat your peas tonight, you don't get dessert, right? Here is a rule, here is the consequence. But another definition of discipline is instruction. And I like to think that discipline really falls more into that category, especially in a biblical context. In the United Methodist Church, we have a book of discipline, right? It is a book of policy and a book of rules, but it is a way to keep us together, to keep us on a similar path. Now, we can have disagreements about if we like all the things in that book, right? Or if there's too many rules. But discipline or instruction helps to guide us on a right path. It creates healthy boundaries for us to navigate through life. If we had too fun parents, we might not have very healthy children, right? They would probably get no sleep, and they would probably eat chocolate all day long, right? And so their teeth would be rotting out, and they would be extremely unhealthy. So we have to have this balance between proper instruction, but also freedom. And so when we look at the book of Galatians, Paul talks a whole lot about this idea of what it means to be a disciplinarian, or what the law looks like in contrast to faith. John Wesley, who's the founder of Methodism, he talked a lot about disciplines, spiritual disciplines in particular, these instructions that help guide our faith, and he would have called these means of grace. And a means of grace is a way in which we engage God's grace. When God speaks to us through scripture, when God speaks to us through song, when God speaks to us through other people or through prayer, we have an obligation to respond to that grace, to grow in that grace, to move on towards Christian perfection. How many of you have ever practiced some sort of spiritual discipline? Some of us. Do you pray ever? Fast? Go to church? Spend time in Christian community? Go out and do service? All of these things are spiritual practices or means of grace. And when we think about discipline, it's not just in the life of the church, right? It's also in our everyday lives. If you want to get really good at playing the piano like Jerry, you have to be disciplined, am I right? You have to practice. You have to work at it. The same is true on this pathway of discipleship. When we turn to our chapter for today in Galatians, we're going to be in Galatians 3. But right before our text for this morning, Paul gets a little bit angry at the churches in Galatia. We talked about this last week, right? At the very beginning of his book, he kind of admonishes them a little bit. And he doesn't just do it once. He continues to do it throughout the book. So at the beginning of Galatians chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly crucified. The only thing I want you to learn from this is, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing in what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing if it really was for nothing?" Paul gets a little angry with the churches in Galatia because one of the things that they are trying to do is that they believe that they have some sort of advantage in imitating Jewish life or following Jewish law, because most of the people in Galatia are Greek. They're not Jewish. But they've latched onto these Jewish laws and it's divided them, specifically circumcision. They think that you have to be circumcised to be a real follower of Jesus. And Paul is saying, no, you don't necessarily have to follow these specific rules. You have to believe in Jesus and the work and power of the Holy Spirit. And so as he moves on, we come to our text for this morning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. And Paul says this. He says, "Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to that disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That last thing that he says, if you belong to Christ, then you are a part of Abraham's offspring. If you go back to Genesis, one of the things that Abraham's offspring were commanded to do was be circumcised, right? And Paul's like, no, 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 guys. If you are one in Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. You are good enough. You don't have to be bound by these strict rules of the law. Christ gives you freedom. Now, Paul doesn't say just throw out the rules altogether, right? We still find value in them. But if they are so strict and stringent that they prevent you from living fully into the gospel, he says, let's talk about that a little bit. Let's think about it. Let's use our reason to make sure that the law gives us full expression in the body of Christ. When he starts off this text, he says, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came. this idea of discipline under the law versus discipline under Christ gives us a whole new sense of what it means to be followers of Christ. Instead of specifically going by the letter of the law, instead we can practice these means of grace that bring us closer to Christ and closer to one another. As I was preparing for this morning, there's a scholar, his name is N.T. Wright, and he translated the text this way. Instead of using disciplinarian, he uses a different word. He says, "Before this faithfulness arrived, we were kept under guard by the law, in close confinement until the coming faithfulness should be revealed. Thus, the law was like a babysitter for us, looking after us until the coming of the Messiah, so that we might be given covenant membership on the basis of faithfulness. But now that faithfulness has come, we are no longer under the rule of a babysitter, for you are now children of God through faithfulness, which is the Messiah, Jesus." How many of you have ever babysat before? Some of us. Okay, I spent a lot of time babysitting in my youth, well, dog sitting first and then babysitting. And in each scenario, always something went wrong, right? Either the kid made a huge mess or a baby rolled off the couch. Shh, we don't tell that story. But I was always just trying to keep it together, keep the kid alive until mom or dad came home, right? Just keep it together. Make sure nothing goes wrong. Make sure the kids smell okay and have eaten a decent meal. Maybe I gave them one too many pieces of candy, but that's okay. They didn't drive me completely insane if I did, right? Anyone else have these babysitting experiences? And I know as parents, we leave our girls with babysitters somewhat often. And I always leave a long list, right? Because I'm not the fun parent. And I always leave a long list of instructions for the babysitter that says, about this time, the baby will do this. She'll eat this or go to sleep here. Or Emerson likes these things. Make sure you do X, Y, Z. And Aaron and I always get in the car and I say, yeah, I've created this list. It's probably not going to get done, right? None of these things are going to get checked off. And sometimes we'll come home and there'll be checks next to some of the stuff, and some of the things are missing. And the babysitter will always say, oh, I forgot to do X, Y, or Z. And I'll always say, it's okay, because as soon as Aaron and I get in the car and we go off to wherever we're going, I say, these things aren't probably going to happen. It's okay. The kid will survive, right? Paul has said to Israel, you have been placed under the rule of a babysitter. And now Jesus has come. In Israel's history from the time of Moses, Israel was a baby in faith. And Israel needed a babysitter, the law, to guide them, to grow them, to just help them survive until the real parent, the real instructor, could show up in Jesus. They were under the rule of a babysitter, and now they're under the rule of Jesus. We too, sometimes when we're babies in our faith, we need the law. We need the law to guide us, to make things really black and white. But the more that we grow and mature in faith, the more we study and dive into Scripture, the more we can recognize that the biblical text is a little more fluid than that. Have you ever read like Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 side by side? You ever notice they kind of contradict each other a little bit? Or if you've ever read all four Gospels about a specific story, they're not all the same. The biblical text is trying to teach us something, to reveal something to us. It's not always black and white. And Paul is saying this here, guys. Sometimes the law creates too rigid of boundaries. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're slave or free, man or woman, black or white, rich or poor, Republican or Democrat, Methodist or Baptist. You are one in Christ. And you belong to Christ. And if you belong to Christ, you are just as important as Abraham's offspring. In fact, you are one of those many stars in the sky that God promised Abraham centuries ago. We are under the rule now of Christ rather than the babysitter. And so it is our responsibility then to live into that life of Christianity. And so the disciplinarian that we have now is Jesus. And so the disciplines that we need to follow, these spiritual disciplines, like I said, Wesley called means of grace. And there are different kinds of means of grace. He splits them into two groups. He says they're works of piety and works of mercy. Works of piety are more personal. They're more helping us grow spiritually between ourselves and God. And so there's individual practices like reading, meditating, studying scripture, prayer, fasting, going to worship. Then there's some communal practices like sharing in the sacraments, conferencing. I know annual conference is a spiritual practice. Did you know that? Yes. And also Bible study. We do that together. But there are also works of mercy. These help us grow in relationship with our neighbor. There are some individual practices, like doing good works, visiting the sick, visiting the prison, those in prison, feeding the hungry, giving generously. And there are also communal practices, like working together to make real, big, systematic change in the world. Tackling real big problems to help bring the good news of Jesus in the world. But all of these things show that we belong to Christ. They help perfect our faith to move us on to Christian perfection. And so it is by the grace of God that we are one in Christ, like Paul tells us. He says these words: you clothed yourself with Christ. You are no longer Greek or Jew, slave or free, male or female. You are one in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for your good word that Paul wrote to the church in Galatians. And God, just as Paul got a little irritated with the church back then, sometimes I think, God, you get irritated with us too today. That we get too rigid in the rules and instead don't practice our faith to be more like you and your disciples. God, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to see where you are calling us, where you are leading us, and unifying us, O God, to be one in Christ. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen.